With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We score an early goal, and of course what happens? For some reason, we just let them roll through us. Brighton are a team you have to disrupt. You can't let them get into a rhythm, Matt. You can't let them get into a rhythm. That's why we lost the game.
So do you blame Cooper then?
I do and I don't.
You do and you don't.
Well, which are you? What are you asking the question or what?
Well, I'm trying to, but you then immediately say, you don't give an answer. You go, you do and you don't. It's like...
Well, I hadn't finished my answer. I started with I do and I don't, and I was going to go into reasons why. Do you want the answer?
Yes.
Here you go. For this week's Forest All Over the World section, I want to do a call out. I usually shout out different names from all around the world of listeners and fans from different parts of the world that have written in. But this time I want to do a call out because Thursday I want a Forest All Over the World fan to come on to our Forest All Over the World weekly show. Well, like I said, it's more bi-weekly or every 3 weekly now. But I want to do a call out, don't we, Matt? We want a call out.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see if anyone listening or anyone that tweets in or just chats with Chris online fancies coming on and having a little pre-Everton chat. At some point later this week, that would be really awesome.
Because that is the other theme of this podcast, right? It is me and you are getting angry at each other, but it is mainly Forest All Over the World fans that we want on. Am I right? Like a phone show.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But like you said, organising it is a whole ordeal.
Well, luckily, I'm the one that organises it. Let's get into the podcast. Welcome, Matt, to the day after what was a frenetic, messy, chaotic game against Brighton. A loss, which I'm disappointed in, as are you, but... Anyway, any thoughts?
Well, on what? On the game?
Yeah, the game. Is that really going to be our opening? Okay, it's our opening. I'll start.
Well, no, it's a nice... I just like how to the point you're getting so immediately. I've not even said hello to you yet, but hi.
Oh, okay, hello. Well, we did say hello before we jumped on, but you're being surprised by it, are you? Me getting to the point?
Do I have any thoughts on the game? I've got a lot of thoughts about lots of things, which we should get to. My thoughts on the game, I haven't had a huge amount of time to watch it back. My biggest gripe is on Match of the Day, where I was relying on getting a professional overall look at it, was a bit of like, I swear, has Gary Lineker just got something in for us? I know he didn't really say anything pointed at us, but the coverage of it was enough to get on my nerve. Do you know what I mean? Did you see it?
I didn't see it, but I do know what you mean. And the answer is yes, he does. He's ex-Leicester, Gary Lineker. But I think the Match of the Day conversation is getting a bit tired. I know.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
not
it's
saying
not a
yes
big point. It might be a bit tired, but it's just curious. It's like, why? It's not very nice as a Forest fan. You sort of go, why are we that uncool?
Well, to be honest, I watched it on a different channel to what you would normally watch it on, and Gary Birtles was doing the commentary, and a lot of people complain about him being negative, but actually, he was right, in my opinion, in a lot of ways for being negative, because we were absolutely awful up and down the pitch for the full 60 minutes before we started to get back in the game and change the strategy. Absolutely awful. I don't think it's time to panic, and I'll talk about that later on. There will be some positives and some light at the end of the tunnel, but talking about just the game itself, like, this is a Brighton side who are, despite injuries, still have a deep squad. João Pedro coming off the bench. It's just not acceptable to concede 3 goals in 58 minutes at home in any game. In any game, let alone against Brighton. Do you know what I mean? And to be fair, they played well, they were clinical, but I thought we were really poor for that first 58 minutes until we obviously started to change things.
I listened to Steve Cooper talk about the referee decision on toward the penalty against us, the one Chris Wood gave away. Mm-hmm. I must admit, in those kind of scenarios, and all the time in games when I think we're being treated harshly or another team's getting away with something against us, and I'm trying to be really objective about it, and I then get frustrated when I hear, like, the professionals in the game, be that pundits, players or managers, not being as adamant as me that something's unfair. In this case, where Cooper was pretty vocal about that referee at the end in a sort of passive-aggressive way. I know it's deliberately passive-aggressive to save him getting in trouble. But I was a bit like, I disagree. I think Chrissy Wood did roll that guy to the ground. If that was us, we'd want a pen, right?
Yeah. Well, he put his arms around. You can't put your arms. Obviously, João Pedro went down easy, but you can't really put your arms on a player in the box because they will just go down, and it looks like you've tugged them down. And to be honest,
but when I heard the interview, it sounded like it was coming from a corner. It was 50-50. There was lots of people at it. That's the way Steve Cooper painted that picture.
Yeah, but ultimately, I don't. It doesn't matter.
It wasn't.
No, but I'm not sorry.
It doesn't matter. You asked me for my thoughts on the game, and give you my thoughts because I mean, yeah, it was a disappointing result.
Yeah, of course. I'm not saying you can't have thoughts on the game, but I suppose the finish to my sentence that I wouldn't get through there because you cut me off after I cut you off is the fact that it doesn't matter because we got a penalty for the exact same thing. Two soft penalties. I don't mind if a referee is consistently bad as long as they're consistent. Do you know what I mean? And there you go. That's, do you know what I mean? That's it. So, like, I don't know why we can complain about the referee all we want. We can complain about...
I don't want to complain about him. I don't think it's the thing. I'm just saying it's interesting that Cooper felt so adamant.
No, but I'm adamant that we were shit for 58 minutes, Matt. 58 minutes, not good enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Come out there. They've got injuries. They lost three subs. They made three substitutes in the first half, right? So they were going to have tired legs by the back end of the game. And we still managed to concede 15 minutes after halftime. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. And I don't know whether it was the strategy. I don't know whether it was the midfield getting cut through like hot butter. I don't know what it is. But at the end of the day, A, I'm not going to panic. Still love Cooper. Still trust him. And B, I'm still going to get annoyed at the players for not doing what they should have done. The only one worth his salt in that game was Morgan Gibbs-White. He was unbelievable, by the way. Unbelievable. I'm just really irritated and annoyed. I don't want to talk about referees, and I don't want to talk about incidents in the game. All I want to talk about is, why were we crap for 60 minutes of the game?
Yeah, well, it goes back to the, I think we talked about it last week. We did that nice episode with the Mist Rolling In boys and had a good laugh. But we discussed about its complacency, and sorry to be predictable and a bit dull, the thing. But I do think there's, I don't know if it's complacency, but there's like a, we've talked about this before, a lack of aggression or something, a lack of...
No.
It's
not that. It's not, it's...
So what is it then?
I watched the highlights of Sheffield United v Brighton from the week before, and there were like 10-minute highlights. I found them on YouTube. I did it for fantasy football reasons. Bit weird, but did it anyway. So I watched the highlights, and what do I see? I see Brighton literally cutting through Sheffield United down the middle like hot butter every time. Adingra cutting inside, laying the ball off, and then just absolutely destroying them. A couple of times they got out wide when Matoma was playing because he played in that game, but most of the time they got through the middle. Surely we're reviewing this tape thinking, okay, how do we minimise these opportunities? How do we stop them? I know, we'll crowd the midfield and ensure that doesn't happen. Our midfield was really poor. I'm sure that offensively and defensively, Cooper thought they'd be better, but they just weren't good enough. And it's just like there's such soft goals. Ferguson's a class finisher. We know that.
Who do you blame? Let's go through that. Who do you blame for the three goals? Let's play the blame game while we're at it. Since we're just an amateur podcast, we can do petty little things like that.
Well, okay, we'll press a button for some music then for the blame game.
Yeah, yeah.
Go for it.
The blame game. Who do you blame? So we went through this after the West Ham game. We wanted to know who was to actual blame. And we came up with stuff. But who do you think was to blame for the first goal against Ferguson?
Ferguson, oh, it's tricky. How did he get... I can't remember how he got that ball. It was just slid into him and he turned. Who was marking him? Was Nyakate standing on him?
Nyakate. I'd say it was Nyakate. He didn't run into... He didn't close him down. And
yeah, you can't really let him get a shot away there. You can't let him get a shot away.
Well, he's just backing off him. And he didn't anticipate where the ball was going. I could be wrong, but that's who I'm giving my blame game to.
For me, it feels like it's not necessarily the second phase. I know Aina was at fault for the second goal, sort of, because João Pedro came in ahead of him. But for me, it doesn't...
It was Aina. Not sort of about it.
Yeah, but it's not... No, but it's not specific like West Ham, Matt. It's not like... Like we're looking at the final movement, like the cross and the header from João Pedro, this finish from Ferguson. The finish from Ferguson, the finish from João Pedro were both brilliant. Maybe Vlachodimos could have done better with the second goal, but ultimately I'm talking about phases before that. How did they get in those positions? How was Roman standing out wide, ready to pick out the perfect cross for João Pedro? How was the ball slid so easily down the middle into Ferguson to put him in a position that could cause danger for us? Those things, in my opinion, initially came from the midfield. And the midfield never got going. And every time they were on the ball, they were slow and lumpy and couldn't do anything with it. Every time Brighton had the ball, they were so fluid. And I know that's the way they play, but it just really irritated me.
That's Forest in every game, mate. That's Forest in every game.
We were reasonably... No, that's not that. True. That's not true, because we were reasonably fluid against West Ham at times.
We weren't. You've changed. We weren't. We were just.
What do you mean I've changed? No, no. We weren't. We were reasonably fluid.
After Elanga got his second goal, we were disjointed and couldn't put a pass together.
Yeah, but when did Elanga get his second goal? 67 minutes. So up to that point, we were actually doing okay. And the Elanga goal came from a fluid movement. And the Taiwo Wanyi goal came from a fluid movement. And a breakdown of play from Sangari in the middle of the park. We missed him yesterday, by the way. And a pass for Morgan Gibbs-White. We actually, for an away team, had a reasonably good performance. We just lost on set pieces. And we did speak about that last week. All right. Now I'll roll it back to the Villa game, where we weren't very fluid on the ball. But we executed the game plan to perfection. Okay, and that's why we won that game. Now we come back to the City Ground, we play a Brighton team who are going to be tired at the back end of the game. Just try and keep them out, for feck's sake. Just keep them out.
So do you blame Cooper then, more than you, in terms of our blame game?
I do and I don't, for these reasons. I blame Cooper in some ways for the strategy and being a little bit naive and maybe, I don't know, actually, because...
You're just scared to say anything with a bit of gusto.
No, no, I'm not scared of anything, Matt.
You are.
I'm not. Just listen to me.
Well, go on.
Okay, the what I do, I blame... It's hard to know... It's hard to know who to blame with the midfield, because we would have started those players. Danilo came back from an injury. He was very rusty, by the way. So maybe that's a Cooper problem. He should have seen that and gone, maybe I should have brought him off the bench. I know that Sangari wasn't available, but maybe he should have brought Danilo off the bench and not started him and thrown him to the Wolves straight away. I know he was off the bench against West Ham, wasn't he? But I think maybe he needed another couple of games to keep ticking over. I just think Mangala and Dominguez have had reasonably good form of late. So to have them in the midfield isn't Cooper's fault. I think maybe strategically he should have identified that the way Brighton play, we needed to maybe, I don't know, I'm not a strategist, but I think we did need to do something else. And you know what?
Like Ryan Yates? Ryan Yates have been a better call?
No, I just think that at 2-1 down, sucker punch.
So who would have been a better call? Who would have been a better call? Just starting to stick it on your first
right, point. You're trying to get to the needle of it. Who would have been a better... It's not necessarily players and personnel, because the team you put out there wasn't a problem for me.
But you just said maybe Danilo was
maybe.
Rusty. Yeah, so who would have been a better call since Sangari wasn't available?
Right. Yeah, but I was delighted when Danilo was starting when I first saw it. So I actually initially thought that was good. It's Captain Hindsight now. I'm just saying it was... No.
Yeah. That's the new... We're playing Captain Hindsight. We've gone from the blame game.
We're not playing Captain Hindsight. We're playing Captain... The player should have played better that he put on the pitch and trusted to play well like they did a couple of weeks ago. That's what we're playing.
Right. So you're saying you blame Danilo then?
Danilo didn't have a good game. Dominguez didn't have a good game. Mangala, uncharacteristically, didn't have a good game. Wood wasn't really able to be effective or hold up the ball as much as I thought he would. Aina was very good going forward, but very disappointing in defence. There's numerous characters out there that I could lay the blame on and play the blame game, so to speak. Morgan Gibbs-White had a brilliant game, but ultimately they had so much space in the middle of the park and in the midfield that I thought maybe Cooper could have reacted slightly sooner. Maybe on half-time. Did we make a change at half-time? No, we didn't, did we? We let it ride. And... They'd made all their subs by then. I just thought we could affect the game before they went 3-1 up and the game was gone. Because at 3-1, the game was gone. They got a red card, we scored a penalty, and even then, we still couldn't catch them. You know, you can't concede 3 goals at home. It's just that simple.
Yeah, well, we did. It is poor, and especially after the international break, where just before it we had the same old... Quite a miserable way to cave to the West Ham as we did. I know it sort of feels like it's in the past now, but I think it's... Yeah, I think... I do fear for Cooper. I do think, well, come on. Like, it's not even about the losing. It's this repetition in the manner in which Forest seem to go down. I don't think we look at all threatening to our opposition. We poach goals and we get away with stuff and we are known to be quite well-organised and good defensively, but... We've just, 2 games in a row, conceded 3 goals.
You're wrong there. We're not known to be organised and good defensively. Our defence is known to be a shambles. It's just come together with Murillo and Nikate. And in fact...
Mate, I always like to YouTube. And before we get to a game, one of my little obsessions is to YouTube the opposition's manager in their press conference. And I try and find the bit where they talk about Forest. And all they say is hard to beat. Well drilled. They're talking about home form, obviously. So when I say that we're known as that, what I mean is opposition man.
No, but we're actually offensively, we've been pretty good. We scored two goals without our top goal scorer there yesterday. I know one of them was a penalty, and but the other one was very well worked. Actually, offensively, we've been pretty good. We scored two away goals the other week. We've actually scored two goals in every game the last four games, not including Liverpool, actually. That was away. But you know what I'm saying? We've actually scored quite a bit of goals, but we concede for fun. And we can rarely keep clean sheets. I think we kept clean sheets against Chelsea, Villa and Palace. I just think defensively we're a bit all over the place, but we thought we sorted the midfield. But I think it was a strategy thing, a matchup thing. And I think Brighton came in there and for some reason were able to just sweep the ball around, you know, and half their team's injured. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know, it really upset me and it really annoyed me. But I don't lay the blame. I do lay the blame at Cooper-ish, but I think Cooper should safely and comfortably keep his job. I don't know that he will, but I think he should safely and comfortably keep it well to the end of the season.
Of course, of course. I mean, we're only saying this because we wanted to put a podcast out. The wider point is it doesn't really matter. Like, Forest are out the relegation zone, and if we can finish the season like that, then that's fine. But let's park that.
No, it's just annoying, though. It's just annoying because we had a chance to get back in the game. There was a red card.
That's what I'm saying. You've got to park that, or it's not even worth talking about. Of course, we don't want Cooper to lose his job. I just love all the stuff that we always say that's positive. I'm just giving you a moment to actually have a moment against some specific points.
Yeah, well, I'm just pissed off because we lost the game like within the first two thirds of the match. Like, it just was over, and that really pissed me off.
It felt like the goal before half time felt like the moment for me. It was like, oh, yeah.
Well, our home record is gone. That's the thing that drives me insane. We had our home record.
I'm glad a bit, though. I'm glad about
no,
that.
No, why are you glad about that? Why?
I'm glad about that because it creates this false sense. It's an excuse to, like, have a yin and a yang in how you play. It's like, well, yeah, you no excuses about being crap away now. You can't say, oh, well, we rely on our home form. It's like, well, yeah, you've drawn to Burnley just. You've drawn with Luton appallingly, and you've lost to Brighton, who mostly injured. Like, you're not that good at home.
No, hang on a second. We were undefeated at home until yesterday. And by the way,
undefeated is a misleading fact. It's very
misleading. Not a misleading fact. It's just a fact. We were undefeated.
It's misleading in terms of how the quality of your team are. Yeah, it's a good thing, but it's not what you should be aiming for. I'd rather be defeated sometimes with a really sharp looking, fluid looking, bedded in squad and team. And go, okay, we lose a few, but we definitely look like we could win pretty much every game as much as we could lose it. When we're really going, yeah, we look like we're going to get battered pretty much all the time when we go away, even if we score. And yes, we don't lose much at home, but we don't really win much either.
No, sorry. I'm sorry, but we have to keep our home form. Like, saying that it's off our back now and it's off our shoulders, that doesn't help us away. Like, if you keep your home form going, then you feel confident to go away and you're not worried about losing away all the time. Like, keeping our home form is incredibly important. But I agree, the real game that I've been saying for ages that we need to focus on now is not Brighton at home, not Everton at home. The real game is that Fulham away game. That'll tell you all you need to know about this team and whether they're capable of getting results against lower half the table teams away from home, because we should get something from that game. And that's the one I'm earmarking. And I'm trying to get you a ticket as well.
Oh,
don't think I can get it for you.
Little segue there. Chris, help me out, anyone listening to this. Chris always texts me if we're trying to get tickets. We're trying to ask people for help getting tickets. Not that we have any right to, but just in case someone's listening and knows someone who knows someone or whatever. Two occasions now, Chris is like texting me while I'm at work and unable to get to my phone. I can get you a ticket. Let me know if you want it. 20 minutes later, I go, oh my God, that's amazing. Yes, please. Tell them I'll buy it, whatever they need, etc., etc. Too late. Too late, it's gone. If you'd answered when I said...
You're talking shit.
You're like, as if... It's like, just get the ticket.
No.
Just buy the ticket.
No.
Yes.
No, not yes, no.
Just buy the ticket.
No, this isn't true. Okay, I can give you two factual examples of where that's wrong. The West Ham game, I tried to get you a ticket. We all tried to get you a ticket. You ended up in the home end, and as a result, your good luck charm thing ran to an end by terms and conditions, all right? The game, the Fulham game, yeah, okay. I message you, an hour later you tell me yes. That message has already gone from someone else to someone else about that ticket, so the ticket's almost gone now.
But why wouldn't you just buy a ticket that comes available?
Now, hang on. I have done that. Brighton, I had two tickets ready to go. I gave you first refusal. You did refuse. And those tickets were physical tickets, ready to rock and roll, and you refused.
Their home seats is different.
Doesn't matter if it's home seats, pal. I still had them. And I had tickets ready to go for an hour for Fulham. One ticket.
And then you sold them.
No, I didn't sell it. I don't have it in my possession, all right? I didn't go to the ticket office and start printing things off like Leonardo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can with the money. I just got word that there was a ticket available and I wanted to get you one. And you just didn't get onto it in time. And you blame me then afterwards. It's weird.
No, but why wouldn't you just get it? I don't understand why you wouldn't just buy the ticket. Anyway.
I will from now on.
Because what happens if I'm like... If I had an opportunity to get you a ticket and it's in the middle of the day when you're probably at work, I'd just be like, you know what, I'm going to get it. If Chris don't want it, I'll easily going to be able to sell it to someone else who wants it.
Okay, well, easy. From now on, I'll do that.
I'm not going, hey, let me know if you want it. Nope, too late. Too late.
No, it's not too late. It's
and just... then send another message. You know, if you'd gotten back to me.
No, it's not as simple as that. There's lots of people and lots of WhatsApp groups and lots of things going on at the same time. I don't want to look like an idiot. Take something and then have to sell it to someone else. And they go, why didn't you and Matt use it when you said you were going to? Do you know what I mean?
I'd have sold it for it. Anyway.
Well, whatever. It didn't happen. I know from now on, okay? I've learned my lesson. And hopefully you have too. Can I come on to a thought of the day for you?
Go for it.
Press the button.
It's already on.
Okay, sorry. I didn't hear it. I can hear it now a bit more.
You ruin the whole touch the button thing if you say touch the button all
no,
the time.
No, I'm not ruining anything. I can hear it now. Just shut
you
up.
You go. Can I give you a thought of the day? Just bring the music in. Show, not tell. Show, not tell.
Well, I'm telling you to shut up for a second while I read it, okay? So my thought of the day is this whole thing about Forest losing 11 points this season from winning positions. I don't like when people bring up this stat. Not because it's true or because it's annoying or because we do it. Because I just don't like the stat. I think it's ridiculous. Lots of teams lose lots of positions from winning positions all the time. That's football. We tend to score early in games. Hence why other teams have an opportunity to get back in the game. The Man United game, we were 2-0 up at Old Trafford. I didn't think we were going to win that game. I thought we might get a draw, but I still didn't think we were going to win that game after scoring after 4 minutes. The game yesterday against Brighton, 1-0 up. Okay, we put ourselves in a good position at home. I didn't think we were going to win that game. It's that whole, we've lost 11 points from winning positions. It's not like we scored in the 70th minute and didn't hang on in every single game that they're talking about. And let me give you a list, because I did a little bit of my own research. Let me give you a list of some of the teams who've lost a lot from winning positions this season. And none of them are below us, okay? Spurs, they've now lost 11 points from winning positions as well after today to Villa, a team we beat, by the way. West Ham, 10 points they've lost from winning positions. Newcastle are a great team. They've lost 7 points from winning positions, right? And it's only going to get worse for these teams. And these teams are all above us in the league. I haven't even looked down at Luton, Sheffield United, Burnley, etc. They probably never were in winning positions. So count your lucky stars that we were in winning positions in the first place and we're in most of these games. End of my thought of the day.
That's actually, it's a great bit of research. Thanks for bringing that to the table, to the podcast. But I will add to it, you sound very much like a football fan clutching at straws for positives.
It's not pop.
Which
no,
is a good
I don't,
thing.
No,
it's looking at a positive.
Sorry, I'm getting annoyed. I'm going to control myself. It's not positives. It's pushing away negatives. That's all it is. It's not positives. It's pushing away negatives. And with that, like, this whole, what are we panicking about with Steve? Like, why do the fans...
No one's panicking.
There is people online doing the little panic. Oh, that Marinakis is going to want to see results soon. I just want to see 17th. I want us to survive for a couple of seasons and then build on that. Sure, I have higher hopes for this season because we've signed a few players and there's some terrible teams below us. But, like, I don't know what we're panicking about. I don't know what we're worried about. Spurs have just lost 3 games in a row. They're going to lose a fourth next week when they play Man City. They're not wanting Ange out. Maybe they are. Who knows? I'm just saying, why are we panicking all of a sudden? The Villa team that beat them today, we beat 3 weeks ago. Like, we were in the game against West Ham. Sure, we've lost a couple of games. I'm annoyed about Brighton. Don't get me wrong. I'm annoyed about Brighton. Trust me. I'm irritated about that game.
Are you more irritated about Brighton or Luton?
Don't mention Luton again. I was at the game, so I had an enjoyable time and I met lots of people and had some fun. Don't mention it again. You're more annoyed about Luton than anything else. You bring it up enough. Anyway, I'm just saying I don't think we should be at panic stations just yet. All right. I don't know why we're even thinking about that. Like look at Bournemouth. They were an absolute disaster team. They played a depleted Newcastle side, beat them, and all of a sudden they beat Sheffield United away yesterday. And people are like, oh, things are looking up for Bournemouth. They're still below us in the table. I don't know why we're panicking. Let's just calm down. Oh, we better beat Everton next weekend. Oh, he's going to be in trouble. Yeah, he might be in trouble, but we need to stick behind him and stay with him because I'll tell you something else, Matt. If a manager, if he goes and another manager comes in, you think some of our fickle fans will stick behind him once we lose one or two games in five? Do you know what I mean? It's going to be a disaster zone, and they won't. I promise you, I can stand by it, they won't. So we better shape up, stick up, and stand up for Steve Cooper. Sure, if we were in the bottom three, doing terribly, not winning any games at all, and we were having an absolute disaster, we'd have a conversation about it, all right? My allegiance is to the club, not necessarily the manager, but I have a lot of allegiance and loyalty to Steve Cooper, and I think we need to shape up and forget that conversation till the back end of the season we see where we are. Agree?
Agreed. I'm in.
Good. You're in. You're on board with me. Okay.
Yeah, well, I was on board. I'm not on board with you. I'm on board with Cooper and have always been.
Yeah, which means you're on the same page as me and you're on board with me.
What would it take for you to not be on board? What do you think would have to happen over the next three games? Everton, Fulham and Spurs, I think it is.
That annoys me. Because I just told you we shouldn't be having a conversation about it, and then you want to have a conversation about it. Okay, I'll do it. I'll play your silly games.
Say we lose 2-0 in all three games.
Yeah. What?
Would you be
no
concerned, or would you still be pretty like...
I'd be concerned for him from, like I always have been when he goes on bad runs like last season, but would I be concerned as in, would you think what I want? Are you asking me what I want or what I think is going to happen? Or both?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm asking. What would you want? I'm saying, is there any reality?
Yeah, I would want to see improvement. That's it. I would complain about strategy, tactics, players.
I know what you mean. I'm with you. I think I'm saying the same thing. I think I'm going, gosh, I'm trying to imagine a scenario where I'd want him out. And this season, I just don't see it. I'm trying to remind myself of how I felt before I got excited about us getting in the top 10.
By the way, that's still not an impossible feat. That's not an impossible feat.
It's not. Before this podcast, my sort of overriding thought at the minute was, I reckon we could well go into having one of those seasons of two halves. Imagine if I'd rather have the season we're having that then ended with a really awesome run in the sort of last third of the season. Do you know what I mean?
No, I do know what you mean. We just need to, we genuinely need to sort out our away form. Like, that's the thing. Like, we genuinely need to fix our away form. It's a basic thing that is a problem. It was a problem last season and it's a problem this season. We need to start picking up more points away from home. Granted, we played a lot of tough teams away, but we need to start doing it. And that's our biggest hamstring right now, because our home form, despite yesterday and of course a couple of games people will always mention, you keep bringing them up, Burnley and Sheffield United, our home form is still good and we still have a chance at home. Always, we're always in games at home, but it literally is our away form. The moment we do that, the mats will be in our favour and we'll start climbing. You know what I mean?
I do. What's next?
Okay, so I'll give you a brief review corner. All right. Welcome to the Review Corner. So obviously last week you and I were on the Mist Rolling In podcast for their build-up. We didn't do our own, by the way, and I apologise to listeners for that.
It was cool to be on their show. I really enjoyed it.
It's great. The two of them, fair play to them, they were really good, and they did a really good quiz, which you won. I actually, that shouldn't be part of the Review Corner because I don't really want to talk about it, but the fact that you won the quiz is mind-numbingly painful for me. It's like your fantasy football team where you don't really know what you're doing, but somehow you've ended up ahead of me in the game at the moment. Like, it's crazy. But anyway, after the podcast ended, there were some comments, and one of the comments on YouTube, I don't know if you saw this, was Bono and the Edge falling out. Why is the Edge talking into a banjo?
Yeah, I saw that. That's hilarious.
It's very funny. The fact that he considered you, Bono, and me the Edge, though, kind of annoyed me. But then again, the Edge is very talented.
Yeah, but JJ had mentioned that. Huh? JJ had said that. They'd already said at the beginning of the pod that referred to as Bono and the Edge.
Oh, I didn't know that JJ said that. I probably didn't even listen to him.
Yeah. And then I repeated it during the show. I said, I referred to us both as that.
That's probably why it's... That makes me look like I wasn't listening to anyone ever.
You never are.
I am.
That's not what makes you look like you don't listen. We're already aware of that.
Well, I'm going to move on to the next thing and not listen to you now. Simon from the Bahamas mentioned that he has two Forrester Lover mugs, the original and one that I'd sent him ages ago. Simon said that there was a few people over at his house, like family people, and he hid like three things, and it was like a really expensive bottle of whiskey, something else really expensive, and the two Forrester Lover mugs in case they got broken. Isn't that amazing?
That's class. Yeah.
And with that, that'll end the review corner. So we'll dive on to something else, shall we?
Yeah, they were nice nice things. They're not reviews, but there's a nice thing to say. Nice stories, I guess. Go on, carry on.
So let's. I need to talk about fantasy football really briefly, and then we'll get back to the Forest stuff, okay? But really briefly, I want to talk about fantasy football. How are you doing so well? What's kind of going on here, Matt? Are you even looking at your team anymore? I don't understand.
I am looking at my team.
Yeah, but there's one week you did a free hit, which no one did that week. You brought Shar, Trippier, Ben White in your team, and Calvert-Lewin. Calvert-Lewin scores, Ben White gets 14 points, Shar gets 20 points, and Trippier gets 13 points. This was back in game week 7. Some of these game weeks are just all over. There's a Burnley midfielder here who got you an assist. Like, I don't know how you're doing it, who's helping you, or what's going on. So you might need to explain it to me.
I actually think that I'm not doing very well. I get annoyed that the choices I'm making seem to backfire constantly. My big standout problem this year was I had Ollie Watkins from the off and then gave up on him just before he kicked into form and started scoring hat-tricks and goals and whatnot. And I haven't ever swapped him back in. I've managed to get Salah into my side. Mate, I don't know. I'm not doing that well. It's just funny. I guess I go...
It's because I'm so far... But I did so bad and I've got so far behind.
Yeah, but you have, no, but that's your own fault. Your own worst enemy because your whole Man United complex. You stuff in all the Man United players that have done you no favours, but you do it because if they do well, you at least do well on a personal level and it gives you a little balance.
That's...
You shouldn't have done that. You know that's true.
Hang on. It's partially the mistake I made the first part of the season. But Rashford, Bruno Fernandes and Onana objectively were good players to bring into a team at the start of the season. They haven't been lately.
Yeah, I had Rashford. But I quickly realised it was a waste of time.
Okay, so then you were better, more objective than me in that. You could figure it out, okay? I also made a mistake with Chelsea players, all right? But now, guess who I brought in this week?
Oh, no.
Morgan Gibbs White.
Bastard.
I brought him in because I knew. I said three things. I said, number one, he is a form player and he will come back and he will assist again soon, right? And number two, well, actually, it was just two things. I said, I reckon we'll get a penalty soon and he takes them because we were due one. We hadn't had a penalty all season till Saturday. Lo and behold, gets an assist, scores a penalty. I'm smiling. I'm delighted. Fantasy team's going up. Forest are going up. Now they're back down. Obviously, they lost 3-2. But you get what I'm saying. But let's talk a little bit about Morgan Gibbs-White and segue out of fantasy football for a second.
Yes, because there's been a lot of chat about him and this dead ball set piece taking, not being very good, and him being a bit of a disappointment, and him being... But yeah, you're right. He was brilliant being a winger. That was the first time he really looked like a winger, wasn't it? That goal for Alanga and that charging down the right-hand side.
Well, he was also inverting quite a bit at times to get in centrally. I thought he was just absolutely brilliant. I think that goal from the off was a superb ball into a really dangerous area. I also felt like his attitude and endeavour throughout the whole game, getting stuck into tackles, not afraid to be the first man in a 50-50. Most skillful players are sometimes quite afraid to go in at 50-50s. They just like to be very technical. He's not. He gets stuck in. He's not afraid of getting stuck into players. And I thought he was brilliant. He was roiling the crowd up. And then, of course, the penalty as well. Really calm, cool and collected. I think he scored all his penalties for Forest that he's taken so far with us, including a cup game semi-final last year against Wolves, fingers in the ears. I just think he was absolutely magnificent and our best player on the pitch by a country mile. Probably the best player on the pitch, actually, yesterday. I thought he was. I know Joe Pedro scored 2 goals, but I thought Morgan Gibbs-White was unbelievable. And even though it was a loss, we need to look at the positives and respect that it was a real... captain's performance all over the pitch, you know?
Yeah, he deserves a lot of credit. He is, for other reasons other than just being his sort of technical, inventive self, he's emotionally a good person for Cooper to have in the side permanently. He offers an awful lot when he does it well, and we just need him on the field if we haven't got the likes of Ryan Yates out there.
Yeah,
it was good to see Murillo. I'm sorry, Murillo, mate. He did this against West Ham and Aston Villa, and now he's done it against Brighton. These charging back, last-ditch saving of one-on-one against our keeper. He's brilliant. Murillo is a really amazing defender for us. I don't know if anyone's noticed that yet, but it's something I've been thinking about and wanted to discuss.
Yeah, no, everyone obviously talks about how good he is. I think he's a little bit naive. I think there was moments in the game where he was a bit petulant and naive, giving away silly free kicks in the corners towards the end of a game when the time and the clock is against us. I think there's moments in the West Ham game where he was a little naive at times. He has made a couple of mistakes. We just don't sit on them because he's so brilliant elsewhere, and his passing is unbelievable. Like some of the diagonal balls, even late in the game, across to, I think it was Hudson-Odoi at one point, who, by the way, he's an important player we've got back in the team, eh? Hudson-Odoi? Unbelievable.
Yep. Good to have him back. Hope he can do... I mean, I'm a bit of an Alanga fan, so I'm really hoping Hudson-Odoi can come and match those kind of efforts and contributions. Now he's back.
Yeah, but you say that as if they're against each other.
They're not at all. But
shootout.
I just think that Alanga gets overlooked sometimes because of this whole always fast, but he's got no end product. I'm like, Alanga's my hero at the minute. I love him.
I know, and he has done very well. I think, but having Callum Hudson-Odoi is really, really good on the ball, and I think we need that kind of technical player to try and break teams down at the end of games, and he did really well. Was it Hudson-Odoi who gave that cross in for Yates at the end? God, Yates missed a big opportunity, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, the Yates effort that didn't go in. It's a shame for him.
Oh, well, okay. Is that all you have to say about it?
Well, yeah, we've got to move on. I mean, we're at 35 minutes as well, Chris, as I've just noticed.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyway, look, we're going to do a preview of the Everton game some point in the week. Either you'll be with me or I'll be with someone else. So we'll do a proper preview of the game. I just wanted to dissect this game for now. But in case you're not with me, let's do a brief conversation about it and then we'll do another preview midweek. What are your thoughts on the Everton game? Are you concerned about it? I mean, they're playing Man United right now. I think they're getting bashed around the park, to be honest with you. They conceded an early goal, so they'll probably lose that. But what are your thoughts on the Everton game? Are you nervous about it?
I'm not, you know, because I'm always nervous about games coming up. I'm going to just take it for what it is. I feel like I'm going to put all my energy into Forest having a really good second half of the season. And I think it's good to not have pressure on this game because it's become so important. I do feel that... I do think that it's going to be... I mean, we struggled against Burnley at home and Luton at home. It's as simple as that. We're going to really struggle on Saturday. Fingers crossed we come away with something. Are you confident Forest can win?
I was confident we could beat Brighton on Saturday and we didn't. But, like, I am confident we can win against Everton. It's a different game. We can't harp on about games past and talk. It's a new situation. They'll have lost to Man United.
Okay, have you seen anything that makes you feel like Forest could do... win comfortably next
week?
Yeah,
I have. I'll tell you what I saw. I saw us be really disciplined and fantastic against Aston Villa. And before anyone says, well, that's when we had Taiwo. I know Taiwo does more than just score goals, by the way. But he didn't score in that game. You know, Aina and Mangala scored and we just kept our shape and we're really, really well disciplined. I think it's all about trying to keep a clean sheet in that game and then just trying to nick a goal. I don't think we need to be going back and forth with Everton like Palace did and ended up losing. I think we just need to keep our discipline and then hopefully break them down at the back end of the game. But I do think we can get a result against Everton. Of course I do. They're not that good a team. They're in a bit of disarray.
James Garner coming back to the City Ground, the theatrics of Jordan Pickford. Then you've got Doucouré and Calvert-Lewin up front.
Yeah, but I think the big thing for me is Everton have actually been on a good run. Obviously, we don't know the score in the Man United game. It's 1-0 at half-time to United. But they've actually, up until today, they've actually had a pretty good run of games. I think they'd won 3 or 4 out of 5 or something. Or they've definitely hadn't lost in a while.
Yeah, they've been playing excellently against Man United. They've been playing brilliantly against Man United. Garnacho's goal is an absolute worldie. Probably goal of the season.
Sorry, but how would you know if they've been playing well? Because the game's been happening as we've been speaking. Have you been watching it while you...
Yeah, I've got it on in my top right corner.
Is this why I'm talking the most? Because you're not paying attention to me, you're watching a football game?
No, I'm just like letting you speak.
You definitely don't like letting me speak. Anyway, yeah, look, who else are you concerned about on Everton? Go on. Tell me, what's your biggest concern? Because you're mentioning Doucouré and Pickford I'm not worried about. Why would you be worried about Pickford? Who are you worried about? I'm
worried about Pickford. He's just, he has it in him to have days in goal where he's as good as Martinez from Aston Villa, or better. Do you know what I mean?
Nah, well, we scored against him in both games last year, no problem.
You know what? Pickford will be able to wind the Forest fans up. It's that. I'm just saying there's more dynamics. And I just think it's going to be... it's not about us thinking it's going to be a hard game. We know it's going to be a really hard game. And it's going to be a really tough fought battle. But, yeah. I can't see us battering Everton. I can see us nicking a narrow win. But I can also see Everton battering us, say, 3-1.
Okay, well, that's, you're very positive, mate. Brilliant. Lovely to hear that. I mean, look, we're going to break down...
Never can you. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but you're leading into more of the psychological stuff, like Pickford rousing the away fans. The away fans are going to be rousing anyway, no matter what, okay? Because they're in a really good section behind the goal where they get the opportunity to do that.
I said, but Pickford annoying the home fans, that's what I said.
I'm not worried. Our home fans are brilliant. We'll be fine. I'm we'll do a more strategic breakdown in the preview, right? But for now... I think it's just going to be a 50-50 game. It's going to be tight, and we're basically just going to have to sort of try our best to be very disciplined defensively. And people don't want us to play like that, and I understand it. I had a couple of people say to me, why can't we play flowing football? Because right now we can't. We're missing a couple of players, and in reality, the games that we've won this season, Chelsea away, Villa at home, Sheffield United at home, we weren't necessarily playing free-flowing football. Sheffield United, we were for some of it. But it's all about discipline and just trying to keep the opposition out and taking your chances when you get them. And that sounds simplistic, but that's kind of how we have to play against Everton. Especially against a Deutsch team, you know?
Yeah. He knows Forrest really well. He knows Forrest and Cooper really well.
Are you still watching the game?
No, I'm listening to what you said. I'm gonna be... it's weird. In my gut, I just don't think we're going to beat Everton. I never have done, so I might just be getting... It might just be a thought of habit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if a team, I just think if a manager and a team are going to be up for it, I wouldn't have said Brighton and I would have said Everton. So, and just
why wouldn't
Brighton,
you said Brighton? Brighton hadn't won a game in five matches. They were well up to get a win.
Yeah, but I think that...
I thought we beat them, but still.
Yeah, but I just have a feeling about Brighton, the way they play. I sometimes think they've really overachieved, and maintaining those standards are starting to come and haunt them, is I guess where my thoughts were with Brighton. But I was clearly wrong. So hopefully I'm wrong about Everton and we beat them sort of comfortably. 3-0 would be nice, wouldn't it? It's 3-0 battering.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to beat Everton 3-0. But it will be nice. You know what? Save the score prediction. I'll get you to WhatsApp it into me, or you can do it with me when we have our preview podcast episode. Maybe you won't be there, but if you are there, I'll get you to do it then. If not, you can WhatsApp it through to me and we'll do a score prediction for that one. So we'll save it, okay? And yeah, that's it. Look, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I want a Forest All Over the World fan to come on and speak with me and Matt, if he's there, and do a podcast for the preview of the Everton game.
Said that at the beginning of every podcast for the past few weeks.
Yeah, but you're acting...
It's great.
It is great. You're acting like we haven't done it. We have done it, all right?
No, but it is funny. Come on.
But you're saying it's funny, but like it's difficult to match up time zones with people, and we've still managed to do it.
I know.
We've done it. A massive percentage of our podcast have got people from different parts of the world on talking about Forest games. So just cut the crap, but you got to give me a break here, Matt. You're not responding to me quick enough on WhatsApp, so I don't know whether you're coming on or not. I'd rather have you on with me, but it's hard to organise everyone. But in this case, I'll run with it either way. There will be a podcast for a preview for everyone.
I know.
And there will be a Forest All Over the World fan, and that's a guarantee. Follow us at NFFC All Over on Twitter or at Forest All Over on Instagram. Alternatively, you can go to forestallover.com. Do us a favour and please rate us, like, subscribe, do whatever you can. Spread the word about our audio show. All right, Matt?
It helps with the income that we create for ourselves.
Always with the comebacks. Just stop it there.